and welcome to Prusa Live. We've got a great episode for you guys today. With me, as always, I've got Nicholas Sousa.
Hey.
Joseph Prusa. And we have an incredible guest tonight, David Hewlett from Stargate Atlantis. My main goal today, I think, is just going to keep Joe and Nicholas from just entirely fanboying out and like
good luck
taking us entirely off the rails. So the good thing is Dave has a hard stop on this, so I'm able to keep my hard stop to keep these guys from making this 3-hour episode. So
I grew up on Stargate.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm so excited about the show. But with that, let's kick off the show so we can get to Dave. So Prusa Printers picks. What do you guys have this week? Mickey? Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, go ahead.
Joe's excited.
How is it possible that Nicholas is always first? Go ahead, Nicholas.
What about Matt? Matt was never first. Why don't you start?
Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Sure. I have been looking around and thinking about, you know, 3D printing Christmas presents and things like that. And there have been some really great things that are kind of popping up out there. But if you've got a kid in your life, and especially if they're like into like play sets and things like that, Neo 3D Prints has been creating these,
these
fully printable play sets. This one is the Prusa Factory. So they are, you'll see they have like little slots on them. They all fit together and you start to build an entire city of this. And I've got to be careful because the car actually, like the wheels turn and it slides around. But everything can also like pop off of the base and then it clamshells and fits together and entirely collapses. But he's already made something like 8 of these that all fit together. And I know he's got more that he's working on.
They're also a case, right?
The clamshell closes and holds all the stuff inside, exactly. And I just think it's a great 3D printable Christmas present. You know, print one or two, or you know, all of these if you have the time and the ambition. But you know, yeah, I feel like it's something that's going to continue growing. Neil's going to keep releasing more of them, and you know, I think it's a great little toy.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's also newly on Twitter.
Oh, he is.
So. Yeah. Yeah, just fresh. I think it's a couple of weeks, so go follow him. He always makes good stuff.
Yeah, I've been chatting with him a little bit on there, and because he did the Prusa Mates also that I featured on the very first episode of Prusa Live. He's the only person I've featured twice now. I am totally over the moon with his work, and so yeah. Okay. All right, so let's go to Joe.
All right. So, again, it will be Prusa themed because we just published on the Prusa printers our Christmas ornaments.
Yes.
So, there is one very creepy.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's awesome. The beard just takes it to another level. I kind of vary between, is it a beard or is it like a ghostly whip or whiff of your like disembodied head that floats around?
Yeah,
so.
we also have some others. Because can you screen share them?
There is a whole collection of them.
This one is very Christmassy. Oh, I don't know if they can see.
Yeah, they can see it's small-ish. Yeah, Joe is showing this one, the Krampus. Yeah, but we have a whole collection. We have now an in-house sculptor or designer, and he prepared all of these for you. Vlado Turek, we should give him a credit. So yeah. If you want to spice up your Christmas trees, it's kind of cool.
And if anyone has ideas what crazy things we should sculpt, let us know.
Yeah.
Nicholas?
Because I think you should give us better team, because otherwise we will be focusing on Easter.
It's funny, I have another Prusa themed thing too, and I wasn't aware that you were gonna do one as well, but it's nice that we all got synced up. So I have cookie cutters, but they're pretty awesome. They're like Prusa themed or
great.
Open hardware. There is a fan, yay! And Gray Scene, she made like a whole lot of them. And I think we are all getting ready to bake some sweets for Christmas. And yeah, she already did, and they're just awesome. Oh. She has like a whole collection.
You know, it would be fun to make, you know, cookie cuttable, bakeable 3D printer.
She has a picture. Oh yeah, this one. She even used the like. Yeah, it's so good.
Oh no!
It's awesome.
That's awesome.
I think I need to learn how to bake.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see the Gingerbread Mark III there, Joe. That'll be perfect.
Okay.
A couple episodes ago, I had cookie cutter stew, and we already baked those. And I think one of them was a skull, and it came out as the derpiest gingerbread ever.
They always puff up and lose shape.
Yeah. It deformed. It was like, like drunk.
The one thing about cookie cutters, and I will tell you this because my mother did this, is be very careful with 3D printed, and you guys obviously know this, but for maybe someone in the audience that doesn't, be very careful with 3D printed cookie cutters in the dishwasher, because if you print them in PLA, they will totally deform and you'll be printing the cookie cutters.
And if you want to reuse them, I would suggest to check out our latest tutorial, how to make the pots food safe.
Yeah.
I mean, you bake the cookies, but still, it's best if, you know, tiny particles don't get stuck between the layer lines.
Maybe at the very least, change the nozzle, because some of them, the brass nozzle has like a tiny bit of lead or something.
But also, also for this, I would say it would be perfectly serviceable to use, you know, like a cling wrap.
Keep
that for it.
Good idea.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect idea. Okay, so speaking of prints and things like that, we just got done judging our latest contest, our fashion contest.
We did.
And we posted an article out with the results of our fashion contest. So let's real quick discuss the winners.
Some really out of the box thinking, like some of these ideas are really nice.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. All around, like, you know, all of our contests just keep kind of being so impressive with everything that you guys create. And this one was, you know, no exception. We had over 350 entries in this one. And we had some pretty great prizes. For the very first time ever in any of our contests, we were giving away minis, and not just a mini.
Two minis.
First and second prize, both are going home with minis, so, which is really cool.
We are looking at the prizes, at the winners.
Yeah.
So starting with the fourth place, it's the kind of like, I don't know, unique maybe? I haven't seen a 3D printed purse before. So yeah, it is.
Das Mia did one for our
the spool one, that's true.
The spool purse, yeah. Yeah, and there's been a couple out there. I just really love that this one actually took advantage of flexible filament. So they're printing it in like a TPU, and so they call it self-closing, because you can kind of squeeze it to like a change purse kind of thing to open it up, and then it'll go back.
That is very nice. And also, I mean, if you have correct settings, it will be pretty much indestructible.
Right.
So that is by Sue Printed. Then we have this one, which Matt, your wife really liked it, right?
Oh yeah. My wife totally loved this. So I was sitting there scrolling through all the entries, like looking at everything, and she saw that and it was instantly like, print that for me, because they're really beautiful. It kind of comes across looking like a stained glass window, I think is really fun.
Yeah.
But you don't need an MMU for this. This is all layer color swaps.
Nice.
And the nice thing is, it's like all the leaves are kind of all on the same like lower layer, and so if you wanted all of your flowers to be the same color, you'd only actually need to do three color swaps: the black to the green to the color of the flowers. But each of the flowers is kind of on
layer.
Its own layer too, so you could technically make every flower a different color. So I think there was a lot of great stuff in here. The only thing that I wish they had done is listed where the color swap locations were.
Okay.
Because you got to kind of figure it out yourself.
Yeah, you and do they save in 3MF file?
They do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But I don't think there was a 3MF for this, but maybe we could just make one and put it on their thing.
But Nicholas, taking out, we need to make new content about the color printing by layer swapping.
Yeah.
Because I think it's super underutilized.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's totally super powerful.
It's used.
Everybody can do it, and it's so easy to do it. You know, it's nice.
A lot of the stuff that was done for this is color swaps. So like all the signs are all color swaps. The trees are color swaps.
Yeah, this is not MMU print.
The base itself is a color swap. There's lots of glued together bits too, but there's tons of color swaps on this that really like make it a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's used even in the second place.
Yeah.
Which is
second place.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's by the British Library. And I really like this one when I stumbled across it. It's to me, it's a unique idea. It's different than all like the first thing that when you think about fashion, you think earrings and maybe rings and stuff like that. But this is super cool. So it's a card that you can, it's the size of a credit card. You can, put it in your wallet, always have it on you. And it's like an emergency package of cufflinks and buttons and the things that you put in your collar to make it stiff.
I can
the collar stays.
Yeah, I can appreciate it because, I like three times I lost my cufflinks and I had to run out to get new ones when there was an event coming up.
Yeah.
So printing and hiding them around your place, so you can there's always at least one.
I've actually printed collar stays in the past for my shirts because like the morning of an event I was like, I can't find any of my collar stays, I need some. And so I have printed them previously. I absolutely 100% intend on printing one or two of these cards and stashing them in my travel suitcase.
This would be a great gift for Christmas for your guy.
There are even I think more variations uploaded.
There are.
Yeah, so you can pick
I'd really love a variation on this one where instead of having four cufflinks, it had four buttons
and two cufflinks.
And then two cufflinks. Yeah. But yeah, it's great.
Nice. So that is one Prusa Mini prize.
Right.
The main prize, the other Prusa Mini goes to Billy Ruben for this awesome fabric 3D printed necklace. So that's another outside of the box thinking, combining plastic and 3D printing. We have the flexibility and just, properties of a textile mesh.
Yeah, I actually have one printed out.
Oh,
right,
you do?
Here.
Okay, I'm going to stop
saying. Yeah, and so, you can see, you can kind of see between, but if the camera focuses, right? Let me see if I put my hand
You can kind of see it, but it's...
Yeah, you can see the mesh a little bit between. So that's just tool that
so
we normally
cool.
use kind of as a filler. But yeah, you print two layers down and then stretch the tool over your build plate and then continue on with the rest of the prints. It was an idea first came out with by a gentleman named David Shorey. But this is a really great example of it for an actual like fashion application. So it's really like flexible but still rigid. Conforms to the body, sits nice across someone's neck. Is almost an illusion as if they're floating upon the person's neck. I think it's really beautiful.
It is super pretty.
It is decent. I love it.
Yeah. And Billy's just been blowing up the internet recently. So, she's in Make, she's on Hackaday, she's in Reddit. She's just, just kind of taken the internet by storm. And, it's going to be fun to have her on Team Orange now.
If you want to see all the winners, just on blog.prusaprinters.org, there's the article that we just released where you can find these top four, but also the prizes for that you basically picked with likes. So there are some more.
We have Ben Sims in the chat, and he says, "Oh my god, I made the cuffling card. Can't believe
it." Oh, congrats, man. It was
congratulations.
Really
nice. Ben, are you actually associated with the British Library? That was an actual question I had. Or is that just a kind of fun name that you've come up with? Let us know.
Okay, it's time.
It's time. Nicholas can hardly hold it in. All right. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce our guest. We have David. Let's see. Joining. Hopefully he's still there. This is going to be just our luck, right?
It was too boring, so he left, right?
Welcome. There he is. There he is. Fantastic.
I was hanging back, trying to be quiet.
Hey, David, thank you for joining us. So for those of you out there who don't know, David is...
I've got to turn you off. Sorry, I realize I'm also listening to you at the same time.
Yes, it's a problem. David is a film and movie star, kind of most famously known for the character he portrayed on the Stargate Atlantis series, especially to those of us that are huge nerds for sci-fi.
Guilty as charged.
But David has kind of taken that love for things sci-fi and is kind of using that to help inspire future generations of the people that are going to make science fiction science reality. So
I'm recruiting
David,
nerds. I'm trying to recruit nerds. That's basically it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So David, thank you for joining us.
that's true. You know, it's a good. I can't take all the credit for the Stargate stuff, but now I'm on my own little way trying to convince a few young impressionable minds that maybe they should be nerds instead of instead of actors. Including my son. I'm not sure it's going to work with my son, though. He's now talking about going to like art school or something. So, you know, I'm like, what? No. Maths and science is all the way.
Nice. So, you know, of course, I asked some people when I started to know that like you were going to be on the show. I was like, hey, you know, do you guys have any questions for David? You know, anything I should ask him? And the best response or kind of the most common response I got out there was just squee, like people just decided that you were going to be on the show. That was kind of the level of question that I got.
Those are the questions I can answer. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm amazing. That's it. Yeah.
You know, but you know, obviously, again, this group, you know, the 3D printing, you know, crowd, shall we say, the gang of nerds, a lot of us do tend to be very like interested in sci-fi and things like that. So, you know, totally up your alley.
Someone once said that that science fiction was the first stage of engineering. It's the dreaming phase. And I think that's, for me, that was always, that's where it was for me. Like I got into Doctor Who early on. So,
yes.
You know, when the sets were really shaky and the effects were even shakier. And I just loved that stuff. And it was also because of the way they showed it here, they had to show it on PBS. So they showed a, like an educational piece after where they would sort of try to make their purchase of Doctor Who an educational purchase. So they would have like a science fiction writer or a scientist on talking about the potential science behind this stuff. So for me, there was never any difference.
Cool.
Science fiction and science is just the same thing, right? So,
yeah. You
know.
That is cool. We had something similar. Not all the shows like went on the prime time. And there, we have Česká televize, Czech TV, national TV. It's something like PBS. It's funded by government.
Right.
And there is like the main channel. And then there's a second channel where usually they play documentaries and some of the sci-fi stuff. You know.
So they put the documentary stuff as well. Yeah. It makes sense, though, because it's like it's also an amazing way in for learning. Like it's my big. So the whole sort of tech bandits thing, the reason why I sort of started doing this with the kids is because I feel like we're learning backwards. Like we're like, OK, you got to learn all the basics and then you get to do the fun stuff. And I'm like, screw that.
Boring.
Show them the cool stuff, because then they want to do. Then they want to do the basics.
That's
right?
Like the analogy of learning an instrument and, you know, someone teaching you the notes, like, boring. I want to play AC/DC and I want to learn a song. Yeah. And then
that's YouTube, right? They go on YouTube and look it up.
Yeah, you learn the chords and that's the fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been, go ahead, John.
There is both need for both things. I mean, you need to know how to do engineering, but also if you are very proper in the engineering, you know that, you know, something can't be done, or, you know, you don't have the means to make it. Mm. But the science fiction is breaking that, that you are not trying it because, you know, it can't be done.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, I didn't have an engineering degree when I started with RepRap. And because of the fact that I didn't exactly know that, you know, it shouldn't be done that way or can't be done that way, you know, from the simple hardware store parts back then, I just made it.
I think that's the fear I have. When you start compartmentalizing the education, you don't have those. You need someone who's going to go like, I want to make this, and someone, and then, and not know that they can't make it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Nobody told me I can't do it, so I did it, right?
That's
it.
Yeah. It's the same with filmmaking. Filmmaking is exactly the same. If you sit down and go like, okay, how do I make a movie? Forget it. Like, no one's gonna make one. But the fact that you don't know what you're getting into is probably a better approach. You know, yeah. But I have to say, I said this before. I'm gonna say it now. Let me just fanboy for a second here. So I was saying to Joe that the Prusa is not only my entry to the 3D printing world, it's the only printing that I've done. And I bought the second version or the first? I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah,
was there,
I think it was the Mark II.
I think it was the Mark II, yes. So the Mark II has been like my go-to. I have been, that thing is not meant to be portable, but I have been carting it back and forth to schools and kids' houses and basements and different rooms in the house, depending on what's available. I have freaking loved that thing. And now I have the new one. We were just talking about the MMU, the setup for that. What you've done, and also talking to you during the pandemic is another thing that just blew me away, was how you handled that, how you you pivoted to make a difference. And so if anyone should be fanning out, it's me. I Joe, it's like I would say my hat's off to you, but I'm not taking off because my hair will be terrible.
Thank you. I mean, we've done well, but we are kind of sorry that we didn't know how to do more. But I think the idea
that you got to do something was just amazing. I mean, just, you know, even just like the hand sanitizer, you coming up with the what is it? I don't know what part of your company you switched to that. Who was doing what for that to happen?
So we have a chemical lab. We are now cooking up resins, and we are making the skill sheet there. And right. They had the equipment to do that. But yeah, it was a fun ride. But you know what is the sad part about the shields? We are still giving them away, and people really? Still have to print them around the world. So some of the governments failed.
We ended up printing some for a local hospital here. I mean, not many, unfortunately. But
it is, you know, 3/4 of the year, at least in our case here. So it is kind of bittersweet that we are still very proud that we could help. But it is sad that, you know, people who are in charge are not held accountable.
I think by now.
If anything shows from this, it's going to be how much politics have come into play and gotten in the way.
What is my inspiration from this is that, you know, obviously if we don't, as a persons and as a companies, if we don't try to make things better, it will just not happen like that by itself. So.
Or maybe you should get into politics, Joe. Maybe you should get a little, you know. What do you guys have? Presidents, prime ministers? What do you have over there?
We have a president, but he can't do much. So prime minister, I'm just saying
president would look really good on that tree ornament. That's, I'm just, you know, throw that out there.
I think I can do much more this way. So we have some couple of programs we'll be talking in the future about, which are coming up. But you know, we are also investing a lot into an education of people, you know, to get them to love technology, because I think with technology comes math, physics, logic, and critical thinking and problem solving.
Yeah.
So I mean, with these things, I think the future will be bright.
That's the beautiful thing. The thing I love about 3D printing from the kids' perspective is it's like they enjoy even just the process, even just watching it happen. is like a lecture in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's like watching it print. You could see them trying to figure out what's going on and how, what does that do? What does this do? It's just, it's, that's why I love it. That's why I started bringing it into, into the Tech Bandit stuff.
I told you that about in the pre-show, but I just can't forget the tweet where you were tweeting how you are bringing the Mark II on the little truck and doing stuff.
Did you notice what color I got of the truck?
I think it was red.
Mine probably colorblind, but orange. It was a Prusa. In my mind, it was Prusa orange. That was my, it matched the 3D printer I was lugging around. Yeah.
Really? Nice.
That was the idea. I call it Rover.
Oh, can you get one for us?
I'll see if I can find a link. Because it was just like, and it has like these crazy weird wheels and stuff.
Okay.
Like it's just, it really looks like a Mars rover. And I said to my wife, I was like, look, it's kind of silly, but the whole thing, it's a bit about bringing like the show business to education. Like you want kids to go like, what the frack is that guy dragging around? And then they stop you and they say, what's that? And what's this? And it's just great that way, you know? And I think that, I was talking to another group that was doing like, they were actual professionals who brought people in to teach kids things. We just break stuff. And he was saying, you know, how hard it was to find the right people with the right skills for this stuff. And I was like, screw that. I said, just get out of work actors, because they'll learn it like they'll learn a part. Like they'll learn what they need to learn. Like the science you can learn, the personality stuff you can't, right?
So, yeah. So you wouldn't believe what we did, as you said, show them that it can handle it. So on one of the very first shows I did, we actually mounted the printer on a bike, and it was printed on the front rack of a bike, and printing on it, and we're going around the show floor, and all the bigger companies, they were like, snuffing, you know, it cannot work. It just, you know, it's too flimsy. And we were just driving around and the printer was printing and we were just stopping and people were looking.
Oh, that's brilliant. They're
much better than from the, you know, industrial machines.
Do you have footage of that?
I'm looking for a picture.
I think there's one picture of that bike. I think it was even in the around 200,000.
Yeah. Cause that's it. It's like just being, it's just looking at things in a different way. I mean, that's what engineering's all about really, isn't it? I mean, like the other thing I love showing the kids is your the printer farm.
Yeah.
Because then they start going like, wait a second, 3D printers printing 3D printers. And then that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I love when someone suggests like, oh, you should print 3D printers. We're like, yeah.
What a great idea.
We are.
We have new video from the farm coming out.
So. Oh, good. Because the other thing I get all the time because of Stargate is the replicators. Everyone immediately goes to replicators.
Yeah.
Like, oh, great. Bruce is making replicators
We'll get to that possibly we'll get to that. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, sorry, I can talk.
Yeah, I mean, Matt just asked one question and we are still talking.
Well, I didn't get my first question out.
Oh, sorry. No, that's me. Welcome to working with you.
No, it's great. I mean, this is the questions are there to spark conversation. Right. If the conversation goes on its own, I'd rather just have the conversation go on its own. It's far more natural. But not all of our guests are necessarily as comfortable with hopping on camera and just chatting. And so this is fantastic. I don't want to stop that. So I'll finish the last part of my first question that was maybe a little like meandering and long-winded to kind of start this back up, but then I'll just shut up and let it go. Again, big nerd culture, 3D printing, sci-fi. Have you come across any 3D printed props, you know, potentially Stargate stuff, anything like that, that have just like blown your mind that you've seen come out of this community that you've seen created? In fact, I think when we were talking on the pre-show, there was maybe even something that you were looking for.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've got, can I share the link? So this came up recently. I was like blown away by this. It's just, she's actually got a URL, or he's got a, he, she, I'm not sure. It's just the StargateProject.com, but let me give you the link because this thing is beautiful. The one I was looking at before was Glitch UK did one, let me do this here. Like I say, my son's computer, so it's possible that I'll get everything wrong here. Is that it? There you go. So you got to look at this thing because it is like it is just beautiful. Like all the little. Even just the, you know, how to dial it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen this one.
Yeah, the infinity mirror.
Yeah, we are.
The thing that, you're building one?
We wanted to build it before the show, but I was like, oh, I don't think we can do it in time because we couldn't get the see-through mirror.
Oh, my God, there's so many things there. Okay. Look at this thing. So she's actually got, or he's got, so he's got all the codes you need to do the dialing.
Oh, no way.
And then you actually dial that DHD.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Takes it to a whole nother level.
There was no way we were going to make it in time for the show.
Yeah, it almost looks a bit like a life project. But the other one that I saw, which I was impressed, which I started printing, was Glitch UK, I think was the one who did it. It was real. Oh, there you go. This is it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is an earlier one. But again, it's got this really nice sort of rotating mechanism that it uses. And I don't just print the Stargate stuff, but I thought given that I'm here partially because of that, yeah. I thought I would share some of the more fun prints. I really wanted one. I have a little Stargate that I printed that sits in one of my cameras and just looks out into the backyard, and I call it the Stargate cam. And it's just so that people can see the dog and the squirrel. I call it the squirrel cam because there's usually squirrels. But I wanted it to light up and spin. And of course, I've never got around to doing that because, you know, because I've got printers to build.
So did you go to the comic cons or comic shows?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that stuff. But the, yeah, I just, honestly, the thing I've discovered with those shows is that the fan base is further ahead than a lot of the film industry is on this stuff. Like I feel like the film industry is still catching up with what is able to be done. The industry, weirdly, you'd think the film industry would be like sort of ahead on things because it is with visual effects and stuff, but but even visual effects now, I find there's like kids in the basement who could do better things with their computers than some of these massive studios are.
Are 3D printers used? Come on like sets to make props and stuff.
They're much more now. Like okay. Stargate, we just kind of missed it on Stargate, and also the other issue was that because Stargate had been on the air for so long with SG-1 first,
yeah,
there was kind of like there was a set way of doing stuff, and it's mainly sort of foam and lots of handcrafted stuff. And then I think that began to change later on, like with Universe. And then Dark Matter, I think, was probably doing some, there weren't a lot of props for me to play with in Dark Matter. Just a lot of running around screaming, basically. Everything else.
I would say there must be like a lot of momentum in the industry from the earlier days, because everybody, a whole industry knew how to use the older technologies, so they were getting by just fine. So they didn't have the big pressure into, you know, adapting it as soon as possible.
True.
But you know, the home builder or the cosplayers, they, you know, it was very big barrier to enter. So when the 3D printing just came in, they, you know, kind of jumped over the old technologies and just started immediately with new one. Great technology for that, I would say, is with technology. Some of the newly developed countries, they just completely jumped over to having a personal computer, and they are just, you know, going up with phones. Mm. And in Myanmar, you know, I was just stoked when I was there that, you know, the mobile banking apps were much better than in
way ahead of North America.
So that is pretty much similar, I would say.
Yeah, I think that is the case. And I think there's like we saw this with digital filmmaking as well, where it's like there was a real, people were really holding back. They didn't want to make, digital's not as good. And it's like, what are you talking about? And I'm seeing it now with robotics in the film industry, where it's like, we brought in this special techno crane and it costs $100,000 to rent. And I'm like, dude, you could build one for like a grand. Like, it's maybe not specifically as huge and magical as theirs is, but the idea that, you know, you could 3D print the parts and build tools that people are charging hundreds of thousands of dollars a day to use. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I just saw a project just like 2 weeks ago or something where someone actually did a basically fully 3D printed techno crane where he could program in camera moves and it would swing the camera around. I sent the links over to Mickey.
Yeah,
check it out. It's really, really an impressive project.
Well, and even the props. I mean, the props, one of the guys who I have seen doing some neat stuff with this is on this crazy little show that just never quits here called Murdoch Mysteries, which is like a steampunk like detective show. And it's very, it's very sort of family, it's a bit loose in its history and stuff, but it's just kind of fun. It's like a silly fun show. The props master there calls himself the Prop Monkey. And he does a lot of stuff with Arduinos and that's the other thing is integrating all this cheap, IoT technology with the printing. Like, so for example, right now I have this little robotic head that I wanted to use, just on some of the streams. It'd be kind of fun, I thought, to have it like do things depending on what happened on the streams. And so I started working with it. Then I was like, okay, but it's not, I'd rather use these servos instead of these little cheap servos that it comes with. And so eventually what I'm going to end up doing is just 3D printing all those parts and rebuilding it slightly larger so it fits all the servos and stuff. And it's just like, that was impossible even, I don't know, what, 5 years ago? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the technology, the Arduino was there for a bit longer, I would say. Mm.
But Arduino stuff, but the integrating it with the 3D printing.
Yeah. But the plug and play kits, which makes it super easy, that I couldn't have dreamed of when I was starting.
But that's fantastic.
Do you play with Arduino?
I love Arduino. Yeah, I do Arduino, and there's this Arduino, Raspberry Pi. The other one I love is this Easy Robot. Easy Robot is just a very simple system for building robots. It's a lot of, you buy from them basically, but they've built their own, they're a bit like Prusa in a way. They've built their own servos, like they've manufactured their own, so they are like heavy duty. Chunky things, like when they get stuck, like things burn. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like they are, they're serious. And so I play with that a lot too, because as a development platform, it's great. It's literally you could drag and drop. You could do scratch programming if you want to get it up and running. So integrating that with a little bit of 3D printing, and it's just I don't get enough time to do a lot of this stuff, or I just choose to do other stuff with time, I guess. But this the possibilities are endless.
Both of the projects that you posted there, both the Stargates are both 3D printing with Arduino, right? Like,
yeah,
it's showing, some of those amazing things you can do when you start blending everything together.
Well, and also assistive technology, right? I mean, one of the things I discovered with the kids was that they were very, very interested in, I was working on a documentary, which unfortunately never happened, but it was all about assistive technology and sort of the future of cyborgs and all this kind of stuff. And they were asking about what I was doing, and I told them about this stuff. And it was like a light bulb went off both for them and for me, because all of a sudden they got it. There was a young woman who was in our class, very, very quiet. I started talking about this robotic arm. And I brought in a little robotic arm, and I was saying like how this is being used in prosthetics and stuff, for people who with various different disabilities. And she said, "Oh, well, I've got a robotic arm." And I was like, "Oh, but that's good for you." And she's like, "I got it here right now." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, where is it?" She goes, "Oh, it's in the locker." So she runs off, comes back with a prosthetic arm. And that's when I noticed that she always wore these really long sweaters and she had a partial limb, but she hated wearing this prosthetic arm. So she wanted to take it apart. And I was like, I don't think we should, I think we should hold off. Please don't take it apart. But she said like, why can't my arm do what that arm's doing? And I was like, well, it can, you just have to program it. And I talked to her mom later, and apparently she's fascinated in programming now because of that. But that kind of stuff, the kids respond to the idea that this technology isn't just something that they do in school. It's something that can change people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some friend of mine, Sammy, she started Open Bionics.
Wow.
And that is, and they are actually like venture funded now, and they're making 3D printed robotic arms. Which the kids can customize, and they are, you know.
Have I seen these? They got Iron Ham. They've got Iron Ham. That's my son's username. They got Iron Man stuff.
Yeah, they do this. I bet some other companies are doing that too, but they've done many.
And the cost of these things.
I would have to check, but
like
they're cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
So much cheaper.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you have, it's called assistive or accessible tech.
Yeah, just
they slap
add
an extra couple zeros on.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
This one is also myoelectric, really robotic. So.
Oh, so is it using the myoelectric?
Yeah.
It like senses pressure that you want to press something, and the hand actually like squeezes a little bit. So cool.
And they are now they are from UK. They are working with NHS and stuff. So,
oh, that's great.
And they, thanks to the 3D printing, they can do like the perfect fit. And I'm very.
I love the.
We should get Sammy on one of the next.
Oh episodes. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to see that.
That'd be great.
I love the Enable project. They printed some colorful ones for kids, and I love the story where. This girl, she got from Toy Story, the Buzz Rockety or Rocket Cry, I don't know, sorry, what's he's called in English?
Oh, Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear, yeah.
Yeah.
So she brought that to school, and suddenly, like, she wasn't a girl that, you know, is missing an arm, but, like, other kids were like, I want one, so, right. Like, how can I
but
get
I
one?
I want one. Like, this is the beauty of it. Right? Like, they're only quote-unquote disabilities because they're being compared to what we've got.
Yeah.
The reality is, and this is one of the things that I wanted to explore with this documentary, is the idea that for some reason we're so married to the form that we have, you know, that we're not supposed to try to make ourselves better with technology. We're just supposed to, you know what I mean? Like, we're just supposed to, oh, we need to get these poor kids' arms that look like human. It's like, no, they don't. This girl had her prosthetic arm wasn't even the right skin color. She was Asian, and it was this horrible pink, gray, you know, like, it was just, it didn't, there's been no,
I mean, if I'm ever gonna get like a, like, you know, a robotic arm, I want it with like RGB, and I don't want to be like, just boring arm, you know.
I want full cyberpunk on that one.
I was just
going to say that cyberpunk is going to come out in like 2 hours.
Is it 2 hours? Yeah, bye everybody.
My buddy Jordan, he might actually be on the chat right now. I don't know. But my buddy Jordan, just recently, and he's a neighbor of yours, David. He's in Ontario, not too far away. But he recently had to have a leg amputated, and he is fully planning on outfitting his prosthetic leg with RGB LEDs and 3D printed components, and he plans to 3D print a leg eventually. Just entirely deck it out.
I mean, I would put a computer, a Raspberry Pi, and data center you know, collecting all the data and put everything.
I'd be a freaking Wi-Fi point. I'd be a wireless Wi-Fi point. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
All right, so real quick, because we are rapidly running out of time here.
Damn. Let's do a part two. Can we do a part two?
Oh my God, please.
Absolutely. We would love to have you back. This has been fantastic. But one thing that I do think is really important that we discuss, just to make sure everyone's on the same page here, and because it is actually the more important side here, is what is Tech Bandits? We've mentioned it a couple times, but we haven't really dug into what exactly that is.
They were originally called the Tech Terrors. And the idea was just that I was concerned that, like, we were building a PC at school. My son and I were building a PC. Kids were showing up at my door saying, "Your son's a liar. He says you're building a PC." I was like, "Yeah, we'll come and have a look." You know, like, we're, and I realized the kids have this kind of black box mentality about technology. It's like either it works or it doesn't work. You either throw it out or or it's working fine. And so I was like, "You guys have never taken computers apart." It's all like, I mean, so I started just bringing crap in. Like, I would do what I called geek trash runs, where I just walk around the neighborhood, find a couple of old 3D printers, because there's always someone throwing a printer out. And we would pull these things apart. And then, of course, once you've pulled them apart, the kids start going like, "Well, what can we do with this?" So they started sort of gluing motors to toothpicks and, you know, all, you know, so basically we started, I called them my terrors because they are horrible little things. And the parents weren't so keen on that. So I changed it to bandits. And then I sort of began to slowly make it more and more official. And I was working at a local school and a couple of local schools. Actually, I was going to do a whole assistive thing just before COVID, but of course COVID shut all that down. So we're all online right now, but it's basically just a kid's club that focuses on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And we stream on Twitch. I do a lot of Discord stuff. So the kids will just get in touch with me on Discord and say, hey, how do I do this? Or I need an Adobe account. Can you set that up? And people have been very nice. They've donated some money. So I have a little bit of money that I can do to things like subscriptions and stuff just to get kids into this stuff. Because we sort of joke about the nerds, but the reality is that it's not just for nerds. I think there's a cliche that you have to be like an uber nerd to do this stuff. You just don't anymore. There's as you say, the cost and the barrier to entry is so low on this stuff. I mean, the 3D printer thing was a revelation for me. Bringing the Prusa in, I don't know how many parents went off and bought those things after, because they always thought they were like thousands and thousands of dollars and incredibly complicated. if that actor idiot can do it, then I can too. So, you know. Yeah, so that's the long-winded description of what it is. And it's thetechbandits.com. If anyone wants to have a look, that's the website, this info there about it.
And I do believe you're going live on Twitch right after the show, right?
Am I? Oh, yeah, I am. Yes, I am. Right. yes. It's pretty loose.
Okay.
But I did warn them. I said, are you kidding? I got to talk to Prusa. I got the Prusa folks to talk. So I'm going to start a bit late today.
Sometimes we can go to your show.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go. Look at that.
Yeah. You also have a YouTube channel. So, like, maybe consider subscribing to David, right?
Yeah.
Why not? Yes. And it's all just, it's really this kind of thing, except that I tend to break a few things. There's the Stargate cam. There you go. So that's a beautifully printed. That, I think, is your Prusa. Is your Prusa filament too, that lovely steely gray.
Oh yeah.
But look at that's got more detail than the freaking Stargate had.
Really?
But I want it to rotate and I want lights, because it ain't nothing if it ain't got LEDs.
I mean, you know, there's one thing, when I watch the shows I watched as a kid and when I watch them on like the modern OLEDs, you know, it is losing, you know, a little bit of the special that you have.
You're a lot kinder than my son is. My son just goes like, what the hell was that?
No. But I'm just thinking about getting like the CRT, you know, like the reference Sony monitor or something like that.
Right.
Specifically for watching this stuff.
So you can see it the way it was made to be.
Yeah. It's in my head.
Yeah. It's funny how there's some stuff that holds up really well. There's some stuff that doesn't. There are certain technologies that have leapt ahead since we did Stargate. And there's other ones that are still, I mean, compositing is still just kind of there's an art to it, I think.
Yeah, I think miniatures still usually hold up really well.
So, we never used miniatures.
Really?
Okay. There was one, I think there was a miniature used in perhaps the title sequence for SG-1.
Okay.
I think. But then they sort of, I think because it was expensive. Now, of course, it should all be
miniature. Yeah, you would just print it, right? And you would have a model. But
when we are at this topic, which movies or series last the best, I think like 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh,
I
mean, fantastic.
You can look at this and, you know. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of Blade Runner as well. Same thing. Blade Runner, there's stuff in there that, and there's the odd bad one, but some of that, it's honestly, I think practical effects, because Kubrick used so much practical effects in that, like that pen, that floating pen sequence.
Yeah, I am such a fan of practical effects. It's like, you know, it when we talk about like things that hold up well and things like that, like I still think that Farscape, which, you know, was right around the same time as you know, Stargate and things like that, I think Farscape holds up so well because it is Henson and it is practical effects. I love practical effects and just really wish that would come back. And I think 3D printing is one of those kind of technologies that will kind of make a lot more of that happen again, because, you know, one of the sides of practical effects is that skill level and the time and everything else that it takes. And, you know, I was thinking about this earlier as we were discussing it, but, you know, one of the advantages of, you know, kind of the community doing props with 3D printing is the fact that it kind of takes away some of that barrier of entry. Mm. It makes it much easier. Like, you don't have to learn those fine motor detail skills of sculpting to be able to hit print on a printer. Sure, you have to learn how to run a printer. But, you know, people don't go to 4-year college to learn to run a printer. They do go to art school, though, right?
it's funny because I feel like nowadays 3D modeling is almost one of the most important skills to have. Yeah. And it's one that I just don't know very well. But I feel like it's the key to so many different things now, because it's used in everything from pre-visualization for films to medical, robotics, engineering, all that. Like, there's almost no industry that isn't touched by 3D design. And the idea of, like, we were watching Grand Design the other day, which is this great renovation show. And one of the kids had 3D printed a model from the architectural plans of the house. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what it should be used for. Yeah, that's right.
The Razor Crest in The Mandalorian is a 3D printed miniature that's used in many of the shots, and they have like a really basic like green screen set with a track, and they are doing it the old school way with the mixture of the new techniques, and it looks so good.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's the combining stuff. It's like, you know, I just worked with Guillermo del Toro again. So I did Shape of Water with him, and then his new one is called Nightmare Alley, and it's like, I love Shape of Water. This script is...
Oh, that was wonderful.
Blows me out of the water. It's... Shape of Water is brilliant. Wait till you see Nightmare Alley.
Okay.
It's I haven't seen it. I just did a little bit in it.
The entire aesthetic of Del Toro, just like...
Yes. His thing is practical effects. He prefers practical effects every time. So he definitely uses CG, and CG is often used almost like makeup for him, where I feel like it smooths the edges on some things. But he much prefers, I mean, in fact, I was bugging him because I was like, no, you've got to look at some of these visual effects, because I think he's used to dealing with Hollywood visual effects. And if you go on, like, you can go on YouTube now and look up visual effects stuff that is almost flawless. But again, you want those practical bits as well. So like, if you can design it to look fantastic in 3D animation, you can also print them.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty of this stuff.
And you also get the performance from the actors who actually see it and they are scared of the creepy thing or whatever.
It makes a difference. Right. Yeah. Sometimes, although there are some actors, it's easier to just act against a tennis ball. But yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, this has been great. And we basically run over almost all of our time. And
I'm sorry. That's
No. This is absolutely perfect. So I want to wrap it up with two things, because we do have to go to one extra segment that we can't really skip. I want to thank you because you've been an amazing guest and
it's been great.
And two, I want to beg you right here to come back.
Oh, please. Yeah, whenever.
For another show.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
This has been great.
Yeah, let's do it for sure.
Thank you very much. And when I heard you speaking about the Tech Bandits, I send you a donation. So, please.
Oh no! Ooh. Oh my God! That's not what I did it for.
No. That is not scripted. I just.
Joe, you don't need to. Jesus, you've already sent me a damn printer. It's like, well, thank you. I'm sorry. What do they say? Be gracious. I will be gracious. Thank you very, very much, Joe, and all of you. This is great. I love that you're doing this. I think this is so important, like, because there's such a great community around the 3D. Sort of printing world, which I was very surprised at. It seemed, I had no idea it was so sort of cohesive. I thought it was all just people off doing their own thing, but there's a real wonderful community that goes along with it.
And in the same way that I'm sure you can relate from going to as many like sci-fi shows and things like that you go to, you know, Comic-Cons and such, like, we love spending time with our community and seeing them. And, you know, unfortunately, COVID's made that difficult. And so this is one of those ways that we thought, you know, well, we can't make up for it, but we can at least do something.
Well, and let me know when you're doing any, if you're doing any like live stuff out this way, let me know. Cause you know, I'll be there in a second. I mean, I'll bring the bandits too.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we can all travel again, I would love to come up to Toronto and,
Well, let me know where you are, because we got room. So yes, all of you, same thing. If you're ever in Toronto, let me know. We'll set you up.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, David.
I'll let you do whatever you need to do. I'll sit here quietly.
I'm not even gonna put you in the waiting room. We'll just get it going. So that was awesome.
Oh wow, my audio just Oh no.
Nobody else knows about it.
We just lost Mickey.
Britain, like enough, everything is fine. Keep going.
Okay. All right.
I was still online.
Zoom just crashed, but it's recovered, so hopefully it's fine.
YouTube has blanked out. Oh, YouTube's coming back. Okay, yeah, we're good. So we have our Prusa Live winners this week. Who do we have as number three there, Mickey?
So drumroll, the third place goes to Indisem. We have this really cool print where, you know, can you guess what it is when it's just folded like this?
It's a Jeep.
But it prints like this, and you just bend it all over the place and connect pieces, and you get this awesome Jeep.
Oh my god, that's great.
Yeah, this is one of those Fab 365 print in place.
He makes crazy models. Like, I don't know how he designs this.
Yeah, he's just one of the absolute top modelers out there because of what he does mechanically and the way he's figured out all these joints and everything else. And I think this is a great representation of the work that he's done. Yeah. And of course, picking Prusament.
I'm really sorry the stream crashed at this very moment, but this was essentially the end of the stream anyway. So you haven't really missed much.